Welcome to the Julia and Gino podcast, where business meets family. We explore what the entrepreneur life looks like from a family perspective. We are your hosts, Julia and Gino Barbaro. Hey everyone, this is Julia Barbaro, host of the Julia and Gino podcast. I'm here with the co-founder of Jake and Gino, my husband and co-host, Gino Barbaro.
And that's the time to look when you're almost done with the intro. So you landed.
You love when I mess up. I think
it
maybe
just makes me
maybe
feel
I
great.
Do it on purpose.
No, it makes
maybe
me...
I do it on purpose. Make, you know,
is that what it is? Okay. Today's guest, we're excited to be interviewing the founder of Your Ideal Mom Life and host of the Love Your Mom Life podcast, Nikki Oden, a wife, mom, and woman on a mission to change the world. One heart at a time. She discovered a superpower for managing time, a byproduct of starting over and over and over again. Her mission is helping moms to navigate mom's life and crush their goals without the guilt. Welcome to the show, Nikki.
Welcome.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here. I love your dynamic. I love that you are a husband and wife duo. This is so fun.
Every time we do a podcast together, I'm like, I feel like it's like our therapy. Do you know what I mean? Like I'll say things that I've never told him before and we'll just reveal things. I'm like, oh my gosh, what is he thinking now that I've said that, you know? And it's really good for us. I always tell couples, if you're having an average marriage, start a podcast because you will explode and you will get closer. And closer.
Nikki, there's one thing at the end of every show, it's always my fault. And I'm always resigned to that. It's always my fault and I'm okay with that. So,
hey, happy wife.
Tell us a little bit about your story, about your mission, how you fell upon the mission. And I think the vision is awesome. One person at a time, you change one person, which becomes two, which becomes four, yeah. Which becomes eight. And it's awesome.
It is awesome. And I fully believe that a mom in particular is the center of her household. I know you have a million children, so
that's
you
right.
Have seen that play out in real life. And when mom is feeling happy and fulfilled, confident, that spills over into everything she does. It spills over into her marriage, mm-hmm. into how she parents her children. And that's what I mean, like one heart at a time. And it's contagious. I got into this area and onto this mission, as you said, by falling on my face over and over again as a mom. Before I became a mom, I was a commercial litigator practicing for a very large international law firm. And I had a lot of autonomy. I felt really independent, kind of powerful, you know, going to court, talking to judges. And I really was good at it, but I didn't enjoy it. It was very stressful. I didn't have a great perspective at the time because I was young. So I was stressed easily. And when I became pregnant with my first child, I looked at my husband and I just said, this is an arching over the horizon for me. I don't see myself doing this forever. And he was like, okay, so quit and I'll take care of us. And I was like, okay. And I always want to mention that part because I know not every mom is in that position, but I was blessed enough to be in that position. So I took it and ran. And when my daughter was born, I figured, okay, I'm going to be a stay-at-home mom. How hard can that be? Famous last words. And I was like, I'm just going to be really awesome at this. I'm an awesome lawyer. I can be an awesome stay-at-home mom. And when she was 9 months old, I found out I was pregnant with my son. So, right? I was like, I don't know who needs to hear this, but nursing is not birth control. So just keep that in mind. But I can't imagine it any other way. They're 17 months apart. And they're best friends now. But at the time, it was really hard. I mean, to have two under two, and I barely knew what I was doing. And so I found myself like constantly trying to figure out the whole mom thing with a toddler and an infant. And I really lost myself. I really lost myself in motherhood. And after 2 years, I just realized I wasn't happy. And I felt so ungrateful. I didn't want to say that out loud because my husband was out working to support us. And I think the girls back at the law firm would have been like, are you kidding? How hard can it be? Like, how ungrateful are you? But I wasn't happy. And when I finally made that admission to myself that I needed something outside of being mommy and wife, that I wanted to have an impact on the world without sacrificing my family, things started to happen. So I built a business from home, and that's when I learned what it's like to live in survival mode. I mean, there was a lot of dishes that didn't get done, a lot of laundry piled up, and a lot of eating in the car, a lot of mom fails. And eventually I learned how to harmonize things so that I could have that impact outside of my home, but still be the mom and wife I wanted to be. And I want that for other moms. I don't want moms to give up on their goals and their dreams outside of mommy and wife. I want them to be able to have both. And so that's how Your Ideal Mom Life was born. And Love Your Mom Life, the podcast, is all about different ways to love your mom life. Every mom life is different, but we all have that desire inside of us to make an impact on the world, and we should do it.
I love that, Nikki. You know what I really love is that your honesty, because a lot of us do feel exactly what you're feeling, and we don't want to, exactly what you said. It's like, we've given these children, I should be happy, I should be grateful. I also was in a situation where my husband could, you know, support us 100%. I didn't have to go to work. And so there were so many years where I felt the way you did, but you know, it was a little different. I didn't have the internet. Internet really took over. Thank goodness for a lot of the moms. But what I do love is that you're talking about the woman, and you know, we talk about like man being the head of the house, which people get upset with me by, but like they're the head. And I always think my husband uses his brain the way that I use my heart when I communicate. And it's so interesting the way we think, how different we are, husband and wives, and how we are as fathers and mothers. And, you know, you need a head. You also need a heart to survive. Mm-hmm. And so Absolutely. That's why we work so well together. And I just love that you had mentioned that.
I'm waiting for a question here. I don't know. You gave me a lot there. So I couldn't even fathom that thought of feeling guilty of, you know, what was that feeling of guilt? Where did it come from? And how long did it last?
That feeling of guilt, I almost feel like we are wired that way as women, because we want to be supportive. And what you said about the man being the household, I don't find that offensive at all. I think that we're created differently. We're men and women. And so men do tend to be more of the providers, and they need us to support them. And that's why it works. I think because of being that supportive person and wanting everyone to be happy, it's just the way that we, most of us are, I felt guilty that I felt like I couldn't do it. I felt like I needed more. And why do I need more? What's wrong with me? There are women out there who can't even get pregnant. I have two healthy, beautiful kids. What's wrong with me? It was a story really that I was telling myself. It's all relative. You know, everyone's got their stuff. And so everyone can always be in a worse situation, and we can all berate ourselves and make ourselves feel bad about feeling upset about a situation we're in. And that's what I chose to do. And it lasted for about 2 years before I didn't even say anything to my husband, because I just felt like he would be like, are you kidding me? I'm giving you this life at home and you don't want it. And he wasn't like that at all.
Well, it's a lonely life. You know, let's be honest. The kids don't talk, you know, they don't have communication with us. They don't, you know, have deep conversations with us at one. And so it can be a very lonely life, and that could happen for years and years. So there is something to that we have to remember. And, you know, I think that your podcast and a lot of other women's podcasts out there are needed now. We didn't have that back then. So I'm so grateful for you and so many women that I know that have podcasts, like talking to women and saying, you know, you're not alone, because I like that guilt that you're talking about. I feel like we all have it, you know, we could, and that I kind of want you to touch on that a little bit more about how you overcame it. And do you still get it? Because I know you have to. I mean, I do all the time. My kids are right now, they're hanging out with my mom. But at times I leave them for like 2 hours and I'm like, man, they're like fending for themselves.
And meanwhile, they're like having a party. But
oh, yeah. And they're like, Mom, are you doing a recording today? I'm like, do you want me to
go to grandma?
Well, you know, yeah. So it's one of those things where they're fine, but I'm telling myself they're not fine. And so that's the guilt part. And so how talk about that a little bit more.
I really believe guilt is a choice. Mm-hmm. It's a choice.
Sure.
And you and I had talked about this once before. We can't always control that first thought, but the second thought, we can take command of that second thought and decide the story we're going to tell ourselves and how we're going to feel going forward. So I do, of course, still have that guilty feeling, especially if there are days that are a little more work heavy than family heavy, because I do believe it's a seesaw versus a balancing act. And then I have to decide, first of all, is this guilt helping them? Like, me sitting here feeling guilty about it doesn't do anything to change the situation, if there actually is one to begin with. And it doesn't teach them anything. So I think that that is just a constant effort and a constant reminder of being intentional and really talking to myself the way I would talk to somebody I love, and giving myself grace because my kids know they're loved. And I see that every day because we love them. We make sure they know they are important and they matter. Mm-hmm. And so if I'm not eyeball to eyeball with them for 10 hours a day, it's okay.
Yeah.
I want to put perspective on this because mm-hmm. I think this is a part where we haven't been able to evolve. And what I mean by that, we were in Italy a couple months ago at my mom's town, and there's a fountain there. And there's three big fountains after the fountain. And the kid's like, what's that? I'm like, that's where grandma, my mom, used to wash her clothes. And, oh, what's that? That's a cantina where they would make the wine. And that's where they would grow the crops. And we didn't have time to feel guilty. Mm-hmm. Moms and dads were out there providing. Right. And we didn't have time to sit around and think about creating another business. So over the last 100 years, when somebody says we're living in like the worst times ever and this, stop, take a breath and really smell the roses. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, it just put things into perspective. My mom struggled 50, 60 years ago in a country that just got out of World War II and there was mm-hmm. not enough food. That's why she came here and there was a lot more. So we have first world problems and there's nothing wrong with 100%. That because there's still problems. Right. And we haven't been able to have the mechanisms on how to deal with these issues and these problems and these feelings because we should have these feelings, right. But we do because we never really stopped and said, well, how do I deal with that? I've got everything else covered. I got my basic human need, food, mm-hmm. clothing, and apartment. And I say apartment, and food, clothing, and real estate.
I knew you talked yeah. about real estate. I knew it.
But I think people have to sit down and reflect and relax that we have most of our processes. Yes. What are we afraid of? Fear. Are we afraid of investing money in real estate? No, we should be afraid of getting eaten by a lion. That's fear. But we haven't been able to upgrade our brains. And I think people like Nikki, who has the podcast and who's written the books, those are tools that you can use to start upgrading your RAM and your brain. And I don't think we do that. I don't think we stop. And there's no reason for somebody to say, well, why do you feel that way? We just do because we haven't evolved. So,
well, you made it such a good point. And Nikki, I know you, sometimes when we're stressed as mom, we're like, I'm just going to get takeout. And I think sometimes, like, how convenient is that? You know, you go to the grocery yes. store exhausted. You come home, put away all the groceries. It's like, oh, now I have to cook. It's like, wait a second. Let's just go order some takeout. And my husband's like, all right. You know, he's so good to us. But I think that's important. And I want to just put this out there because, you know, a lot of dads, a lot of men are listening and thinking, like, what's in this for me? I think it's good that you guys sometimes here, there's another side to it. And sometimes yeah. we don't want to explain that part.
Exactly. Yeah.
Because we don't, like you said, you didn't want to tell your husband and you feel like, oh, I shouldn't feel this way. I should just be grateful. But it's there. Mm-hmm. It's there. It's like, you're not, you know, like I said, sometimes I leave and I'm like, oh, my poor kids. But and I feel like the guys don't necessarily feel that way because they're designed to go off and work.
Julia.
Right.
Don't blame me. I know you're blaming me again. I don't want to go off and work. What I want to know, I'm solutions.
My husband used to have a sign on top of his office yeah, door right. in our house up in New York. It said, my dream in life is to have the same lifestyle as my wife and kids. And every time I went into his office, I would be so irritated. I'm like, if you knew
you have no idea.
What it was like,
right?
You would hate it. We got married. He's like, you know, I had little kids. We'd go to the mall. It'd be cold and wintry. He's like, why doesn't all the moms stay home and just go to the mall shopping with the kids? And I'm like, what?
Stop blaming me. Let's get on some solutions. I want to get some solutions for the listeners. When you started and you're saying, I want to start my home-based business, or I want to create impact in the world, but I'm a mom at home.
Yeah.
What are the first couple of steps you did? Let's build a framework yeah. out for people on how to actually take it to the next level. Instead of always thinking about being guilty, let's be proactive with this.
I like that.
Okay. Number one, start. Mm-hmm. Just start. I think a lot of times, especially with women, we don't even take the first step because we don't think it's going to be perfect. Like, well, I'm not going to be able to grow it to this size, so why even bother? Or I don't know what I'm going to do in step 4 or 5, so I'm not going to take step number one. No, that's ridiculous. And Julia's actually said this, like, I did what I could do when I could do it. That's exactly how you start. Right. You just take the very first step, whatever that might be. Now, it depends on the industry. But maybe the first step is literally opening Google and just figuring out what your first step is. And that's okay. The next step will reveal itself after you take the first one. So you have to start.
I love how you put that.
It's a revelation. So what I'm writing down in my notes here is to start and to expand upon that topic. All the women out there listening, you need to have a vision. I mean, yeah. Nikki explained her vision in the mission statement. What's your vision? Mm. Your vision needs to be strong enough to say, I want to get to that point, although you don't have to get there today. Mm-hmm. Goals are just results. So don't worry about setting goals when you're first starting out. What's the vision look like? What are you trying to do? What are you trying to accomplish? And then take that first step, whether it's turning on a camera, buying the equipment, starting your first video. All you need to do is start. Don't worry how many likes and how many downloads you're going to get. That will come with practice and with time.
I have a question, Nikki, and this, you know, I've talked to a lot of moms, so I'm curious what you think. And this is something that I actually took me a while to figure out. And we all have these fears, feels of failure, fear of, you know, unacceptance and all. Did you ever have a fear of success? If that makes sense to you.
Yes,
okay.
Actually, that is the one that no one talks about. No. Everyone talks about, I'm afraid,
like, what are you
I'm
talking about?
Yes. Right. But then I also have the fear of, like, okay, what if they actually book me to do that speech? Yes. Then I have to do it. And like, and then the other fear comes in. It's kind of like a circle. Like, I'm afraid to be good enough to like actually get in front of people. And then they're going to be like, wow, you're not as good as we thought you were. That's where it comes in for me. And I do think there is an inherent fear of sort of shining and sparkling, mm-hmm. because maybe it makes you, there's farther to fall if you don't do great on the next time. And so you hold yourself back a little bit and you keep yourself from shining so that you don't ever have to deal with that.
Sure.
And it's really a terrible thing. We really should be present. Like, let's focus on what's actually happening right now, because it's the only thing that's real. All that other stuff in our heads either already happened or might never, ever happen. So why are we putting all this energy into this stuff in our head? We should just be focusing on what's actually happening right now. And that's how we create success. That's how we get outside of our comfort zones. That's how we continue to move forward. And we start and see some fruit.
Yeah. I'm curious too, is it in that, under that, you know, fear of success too, is what if you succeed and therefore you have less time with your family, you have less time at home, you, now they want you to go and speak, and now you're, you know what I mean? And then you have that mom guilt even coming on stronger. And that's another one, you know, thank you. You just gave me another fear, by the way. Just kidding.
But just, you know, kidding. What? Your kids are watching you.
Yes.
They're watching you, and I can't even imagine how proud they are of you. First of all, to see you guys doing things together. Yeah. It's so beautiful and healthy, and that you've created something together, that you have these joint goals. That's a great thing to be modeling for your kids. We have to remember too, that we're modeling for them. It's not things that take us away from them, are things that they can also be proud of. And it helps them to realize, okay, I can do hard things because mom can do hard things.
Exactly. Yes. It's amazing what you learn from your children if you give them a minute to actually say something. And, you know, my kids, they really push me. It's actually interesting. They're the ones that give me the encouragement. And they're like, mom, you got to go do it. You're doing a great job. And it's so funny because, you know, the two of them that do that, they're 13. How old is Veronica? She's 14 and 16. And I just think it's hysterical that they're the ones saying, mom, don't be nervous. Do it. Do a good job. And so that's incredible.
But they probably got that from you, from years of you doing that for them.
Yeah. So it's so true.
So we got start, revelation. I would also add, all the women out there, try to seek your values, because like Julia, and I think what you said, Nikki, also, if you become successful and then you're pulled away and you're going away every weekend, that going against some of your values, where you want treasure time with the family. So flush out what those values are as you're creating your vision. Do you want to be away 10 weeks of the year? Do you want, there's no right or wrong answer. It's really, I think, specific to the individual itself. So I think
the vision, you're right, is huge. I always tell women when I'm talking to them and they want to make a change, the first question I ask them is, well, what do you want? And a lot of women, especially moms, don't ever really sit down and give themselves a minute to decide, what do I want? Like, what is ideal for me? What does that look like? So the vision is huge. I mean, that is actually, I would say that comes before starting. You have to know, you have to have an idea of where you want to go. And then you just take that first step. But if you don't know what you want to do, then, well, it's kind of like Alice in Wonderland. Well, if you don't know where you want to go, then what matter? It doesn't matter what direction you go in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's such a basic question that we don't ask ourselves a lot. We're just like trying to get through the day. You know what I mean? And that's definitely a big deal.
I want your next step though. Once you had the vision, once you started, you had the revelation, how did you start the business, or what did you do after that?
So once I started by doing a little bit of research, then I learned what my next action steps would be. So I took the action steps. So I'll use the podcast as an example. my first step when I decided I knew what I wanted the podcast to be about and what I wanted my message to be, I was like, okay, how do I do this though? So I went and did some research and I actually found some advice from Pat Flynn and I went through it and I was like, okay, so I'm not overwhelmed. I was so overwhelmed, but I was like, apparently I need a podcasting platform. I need a host to be able to put this on. And so I just did the research. I went through the step by step. When I first looked at it, I was like, I'm not techie. No idea what I'm doing. This is going to be a complete colossal failure. No one's going to listen to this thing, but I did it anyway. I was like, I have my steps and I'm just going to do them one at a time. I always tell people, I think as you're going through the action, start small, because if you have a big vision, but if you try to do too much at once, that's when people quit, mm-hmm. because they bit off more than they can chew. So I always recommend to start small, have a huge vision, mm-hmm. but take tiny, tiny action steps. And then before you know it, you look back and you're like, wow, look how far I've come. I've just been taking one step at a time.
Yeah. And those little steps are manageable. And I think that's
right.
Right. For and moms, so it's like, oh, okay, I can do this. I can do this. Mm-hmm. And it gets bigger and bigger. And then, yeah.
Did you invest in any education, any mentorships, any coaching, any guidance?
Yes. Along the way. So as I started to on step maybe three or four, I realized I would be great to have like a business coach here. And so I did look into, and I joined a mastermind. And I surrounded myself with like-minded people, which is very, very important, because you are essentially the average, the sum of the five people you hang around the most. So whatever they're talking about, whatever they're going for, that's going to be on your minds. But conversely, like if you are trying to start a business or a podcast or do something great, and the people you hang around are constantly complaining about how hard life is and everything that's happening to them and everything that's so unfair, I mean, it's hard to get out of that mindset. It's heavy. So that was very important to me to hang around people who were of like mind, who wanted to go for it, other female entrepreneurs, and to seek counsel from someone who's been there before. I mean, it's just like anything else. Like I'm sure you see this in the real estate world as well. You were there once, and then you can teach people who come after you what to do, what not to do. And that's invaluable.
I think you need to commit, like you said, and then you need to have the discipline. But you also need to have the sacrifice, because there's going to be sacrifices along the way where, hey, maybe I can't cook tonight. I've got to go out and spend money on food. Or, hey, I can't do my laundry. I've got to do dry cleaning. Or, hey, you know,
that all you think we do.
I can't spend an hour or two with my husband anytime because I've got to get ready for this business meeting or whatever that looks like.
See how things come out in the podcast.
But it's like, it's so funny that she's just like throws it in there and it's like you rehearsed it.
That's what her priorities are. Those aren't my priorities. So.
Well, you know, it's funny because today I actually had a lot of calls. I had a lot of coaching calls today and I was about to go and prepare for something. And I thought, okay, I do know the topic. I know we were talking about decision-making with ladies in the Wheeler of Profits. And I thought, okay. And I turned around and I noticed that our 8-year-old was making an omelet. She was in the middle of making an omelet. Cecilia was like struggling with math. Something else was happening with Sophia. And I thought, I think I need to be present with them for another 15 minutes, 20 minutes. And I think it wasn't a guilty feeling. It was a responsibility moment. Mm-hmm. And it is a little different with, when it comes to women with families compared to men, not that you know, nothing against you, but our responsibility, my responsibility is to them first. And I have to remember that once in a while, you know, I'm excited to do all these things, but I have to remember my first priority is them. And at moments, I have to step away and just kind of be aware of what's going on. So that was an interesting morning today.
And by the way, people understand that.
Yeah.
People respect 100%. That.
Absolutely. 100%.
So Nikki, once you've got the business up and running and like, what are your goals now? What is your vision now for what you're doing?
My vision is visibility. I really want to be seen by as many moms as I can. Because I really believe that we all have a very similar struggle. I'll limit that to the U.S. I mean, I don't know what's going on in sure. other areas where that hierarchy of needs is not being met. Sure. Obviously, that's a different yeah. story. But mm-hmm. for those of us who are privileged enough to be worrying about these things, mm-hmm. because our hierarchy, we have food, we have clothing, shelter, et cetera. It is a very important message. It affects everything we do. It affects the way we go through life and how we are bringing up the next generation, what we're teaching them, what we're modeling for them. And that's a huge responsibility. So I love to be part of that conversation and to just be there and let other moms know that you're not alone and there's nothing wrong with you.
Exactly.
So let me ask you from a male's perspective, from my perspective, looking at business, and we're talking about monetizing. Is that on your mind to monetize the business, or is it more of a, I don't want to say gratitude or
a cathartic thing?
Yeah. And let's say a woman, because for me, I think whatever you're doing, you need to make money. I think there's just no, so if a woman is on there saying I'm guilty, but I want to get into something, do something part-time, I really think you should be getting paid for your time because you have your expertise, you're taking time away from your family. And I think anybody who's going to be using your services, they need to have some skin in the game using your services as well. I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
Yes, I agree with you. I also think that people value what they pay for. So even if I were to do everything for free, it wouldn't be perceived as valuable as it actually is. And you can give people things for free. We all do that, right? Like, sure, Here's a little freebie to, so you can know who I am and figure out if I'm a quack or not, right? Like, There's like the free intro.
The podcast in general is it? Right, freebie. Absolutely.
But they might not take the action and they might not actually do the work and invest in themselves to make the change if they don't have that skin in the game. I totally agree with you. It is a thought, but I will say it wasn't the first thought. The first thought was like, how can I help?
Yeah, sure. That's what I'm saying. I want women out there to think that their time is valuable.
To know that their time is valuable.
Exactly.
I think it's important. I agree with you 100% because you think, well, I'm just a mom. You know, it doesn't matter what your educational background is, but to some people, well, you're just a stay-at-home mom. Like, that's what I see sometimes. You know, it's a limiting belief, of course.
It is. Mm-hmm.
But no, I agree with you.
And so now as you're evolving and evolution, do you have any other programs or anything else that you've built out?
We have your
any
book.
Other books?
You have your book. Want to talk about everyone listening, I was on Nikki's podcast. So definitely check that out. We'll put it in the show notes because it was so great to talk to.
Such a great conversation.
Really, really great conversation. And you mentioned your book. So I talk about that a little bit.
I'm very excited about the book. I am a writer at heart. And I think that is the way that I communicate best is in writing. So I cannot wait for it to come out. It's going to be coming out on Cyber Monday, which is November 25th. Mm-hmm. And it's called Definitely Wear Mascara, Though, Hacks to Help You Love Your Mom Life and Yourself a Little More. And it's just a compilation of, I guess, advice is the best way to put it, on different areas of your mom life and how to make your own life easier, but also how to love yourself in the process, because we do berate ourselves as moms. We do choose guilt more often than not, and we fail to give ourselves grace. Like the nights when we do have to order the Chick-fil-A and the kids are like, yes, you're like, oh, I'm such a bad mom. I'm giving them Chick-fil-A. And meanwhile, nobody's upset. So why are we upset? We do that. And I think it's a conversation we just have to have over and over again. Ways that we can outsource, ways that we can improve ourselves, how to start something new, how to be successful in the fields that we're in. And it's a book where you don't have to read chapter one to understand chapter two. It just open the table of contents and find something that speaks to you in that moment and just go to that chapter. And it's a really fun, easy read.
I love that. Do you know, I'm just curious. I'm curious what your thought is of, and I asked you this because many women are in the situation where Nikki and I are, where we do have that guilt of leaving the kids too much, not giving enough attention, should be we working outside the home. And what is your thought on that? Because you don't know what we feel. You don't understand it because you don't have it. And I always tell people that, like, your husband never can understand what you're going through. And vice versa, we can never understand what it's like to have to, you know, provide for a whole family or a family of eight. So I don't know what that's like, but just curious. I'm curious what you think about the mom guilt part.
It makes total sense to me. I think what women have to do is they're listening to it. Some women may not have guilt.
No,
some women
were
born to have six kids and stay home, and that's great for them. But there may be some women who are, and I could totally see it. You spent 4 years go to college. You're a high-powered attorney, and all of a sudden you're changing diapers. It's like, what's going on here? My identity was this high-powered attorney. Now my identity has been taken away from me, And what do I do? And I'm new. And unfortunately, society doesn't deem being a mother as important as an attorney. That's the problem that I have. I think it's the most important job on the planet, bar none, is being a mother. I don't care what anybody says, obviously fatherhood, but being a mom is the most important job on the planet, because for the first 18 years, you're shaping a person's life, their existence, their thoughts, their behaviors about everything. And if you're absent, you're not there, to me, that you're not doing a good job. You can balance both. You can have both. But I think the identity is really important to understand that you're not identified by your profession. I'm identified ultimately at the end of every day of being a father. And I can be the biggest rock star real estate investor. I can be a great podcast. I can be a top-notch author. I can have 1,100 people come into my event. Doesn't mean anything, because if I'm failing as a father, all that other stuff means nothing. That's the way I perceive it. I'm not telling anyone else how to live their lives, but that's how I measure success. Those are my values. Mm-hmm. That's why it's important when I told people to think about what their values are, whether being a mom, an attorney, what is important to you. And I think ultimately, the way we've been wired as humans is we want a legacy. We want to be able to leave something to the next generation, to our children. And that's our values. That's our wealth. That's our knowledge. That's our love. So it was a long answer to your question, but I just thought, you know, if you're feeling guilty, don't feel guilty. Seek help. There's people out there like Nikki that can help you out and work you through that, because life is too short to live in regret. And if you're ready and willing to open and start that business, you just know how to, you have to learn a few skills, learn how to manage your time, learn how to build a business plan, learn how to start a podcast. These aren't things we're born with. The only things we're born with is like the fear of falling and the fear of loud noises. Those are the two fears that we're born with. I mean,
we didn't even know how to walk.
We didn't
look at us now.
Yes, exactly.
Now we're running from nothing.
I think it comes down to priorities, like what you were just saying. And that is a huge skill. That is a learned skill, how to prioritize. And I agree with you. And the best way I've heard this explained is in The One Thing by Gary Keller and Jay Papasan.
Okay.
And they talk about balls, like glass balls and rubber balls. And in my opinion, as your opinion is as well, family is a glass ball. And if you drop a glass ball, it's going to shatter. Mm-hmm. Business and work is a rubber ball. If you drop a rubber ball, it'll bounce. I mean, there's no limit on the ways you can make money. There's any number of jobs you can have. Money is not finite. And so if you have to let a ball drop, it should always be, in my opinion, work or business, because damaging those relationships with your spouse, with your children, and you know, your spirituality, your health, you only have the one body. Those things have to be the priority. And so when push comes to shove, which ball are you going to drop? And that's a skill that we learn as we go.
Love that.
How can the listeners get a hold of you?
They can email me at Nikki@youridealmomlife.com or follow me on Instagram. That's probably the best way. My handle is @NikkiOden. It's NIKKIODEN. And follow me on the podcast. Love Your Mom Life.
I love this. Thank you, Nikki, for sharing your wisdom and your experience. And, you know, there's a lot of us that are not brave enough, and I'm going to be honest, to just speak what we're going through and how we've overcome certain things. And I've met you, and I just, you know, I really admire you, and I'm just super thankful that you're helping so many women get through this. And just keep it up. You're doing
amazing.
For those
of you dads out there, listen to your wives. It's not about creating a solution. It's about listening, right? Julie,
that's a good one.
It is a good one. Not about the nail.
I love how you ended with that.
Thanks, Nikki. We'll see you later.
Everyone, thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next time.